Hello and welcome along, listeners, to the first episode of this very special series of the Let's Colour podcast. We are lifting the lid.
We are lifting the lid.
Lifting the lid.
Yes.
We have been waiting for this moment for so long because we are finally here. The powers that be have given us our very own series to talk about changing rooms.
I know.
And that's it. That's all we get to talk about.
I know. We've been building up to this for a long, long time.
We have.
Yep. And we've also managed to get sneaky previews of the shows. So we've been calling each other up and WhatsApping in the middle of the night. So what did you think?
Absolutely.
What did you think?
Absolutely.
And this is what these podcasts are all about.
Absolutely. So we are really excited to be here and we hope you are too. So in this special series of six episodes, we are going to be deep diving into each of the individual episodes as they come out on the TV. So we cannot wait to share this journey with you. So shall we talk to the viewers and the listeners about what we've got coming up on our very first show today? We have got a jam-packed show after an absolute blinder of a first episode of Changing Rooms this week.
I know, we sure do. So kicking off today's episode, we're going to do a deep dive into the latest episode of the show. We'll discuss and review those amazing designs and give you all the juicy goings on from behind the scenes.
So exciting to chat through them. And as you would imagine, I've obviously got a lot to say. So anyway, we will be then welcoming our very special guests for today. To kick off our fantastic lineup of Changing Rooms talent, we will be welcoming some truly fantastic people to give us the real lowdown. So we'll be welcoming Katie Brosnan, exec producer of the show, and Mark Salmon, director of entertainment at Shine TV, one of the UK's most successful factual TV production companies, and of course the masterminds behind the revamped Changing Rooms format, now launched on Channel 4, of course. Mm-hmm. We'll be discussing with them just how the show has been brought back to our screens and we'll be probing them to fill us in on all of that gossip from behind the scenes on the shoot. So I'm really excited to hear more from them later.
Me too. Then we'll be doing a slightly different Dr. Dulux because we won't be taking your questions, but we will be walking you through how you can recreate some of the looks from the show or try out some of the techniques all for yourself.
And finally, we'll be revealing what we've got in store for next week's episode. So do stay with us throughout the series for even more from the show.
I am so excited, Steph. That sounds like a pretty full show. Can we get going, please? Because I can't wait any longer.
Absolutely. I think we have to. I think you might actually burst. So, of course, we saw the latest episode earlier this week. So tell me, Marianne, what are your thoughts? Was it everything that you hoped that it would be?
Do you know, I watched it in bed. I watched it in bed and I was lying there thinking, you know, you just hope it's going to be good know, and you're going to kind of put your spin on something. And it was good. It was so much fun. It took me straight back to the original series, but it had much more sparkle. It was hugely uplifting. It was incredibly creative. And even though we kind of knew what they were going to put into the show, there were some real surprises in there. And I loved the contributors. Lawrence, oh my goodness me, that man and the leather, leather outing. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. I know that you were squeaking as well because of the WhatsApps.
Oh, definitely.
That was so brilliant. Yeah.
When I saw it for the first time, I just, you know, much like you, we've been working on this for so long. There's just been such a lot of, you know, trepidation, I guess. Mm. You know, you really want to do justice to a program that is just so iconic. So, you know, there's always a bit of a part of us that went, oh, you know, can we do this? You know, are we going to be able to pull it off? And I just think absolutely the team have done such an amazing job. You know, it could have been really easy to get this totally wrong. And I, you know, I watched it as a viewer as well as someone who actually works on it. And I was laughing my head off.
I thought
it was brilliant. I thought it was great.
I suppose I was worried as well about the chemistry between the boys. And I thought, how is this going to work? Because Lawrence is Lawrence. And
big personality.
A massive personality.
Yeah.
And the boys have big personalities, but in a different kind of way.
Yeah.
And I thought there might be much more of a clash.
Yeah.
And there wasn't. It was just funny. It was funny. It was kind of, the tension was funny. And Anna as a presenter, oh, she's just blinding. Absolutely blinding. She's absolutely brilliant. She pulls that show together. She's cheeky. She's got a little stick and she pokes them.
She does.
That was brilliant.
Yeah. It's brilliant. Almost like you can see her coming in with her stick, can't you?
Yeah.
She definitely does do that prodding and that kind of probing of the schemes, the designers, the thought process, the contributors. Mm. I really, really liked Anna, actually. I thought she was brilliant.
Something was very different, though, Steph. Yeah. I thought this time. Now, I always thought, and I must admit, a little part of me was thinking, oh, God, don't let the quality of the decorating or the quality of the woodworking of it be rubbish. You know, just because that was always a kind of thing. It was always a bit sort of like a bit all held together. But it wasn't.
It wasn't.
I mean, Tibby, he is a carpentry woodworking god, that man. He is unbelievable. The decorators were incredible. I mean, the contributors were amazing. And I thought the finished effects, because sometimes you can see, you know what it's like. You're looking behind the scenes, you're just thinking, how has that all been stapled together? But it wasn't. And that really impressed me. That made me feel, I was deadly chuffed and really proud. Yeah, thought it was great.
It was, yeah, it's brilliant. That element of it definitely shone through. And of course, we saw some of our Dulux Select decorators. I think, almost, you know, kind of stars of the show, I think. You know, I think they're very much, you know, handing out autographs on a street somewhere near you, I think, for sure. So, yeah, big shout out to those guys because we know how hard actually everyone on that show has worked. And they did an amazing job and really just brought the skill of painting and decorating, I think, to life, particularly in some of the episode that we've seen, of course. Yeah. So brilliant. Absolutely. I could not be happier about the way that it's kind of turned out. And I didn't want you
to phone me the next day. I was thinking, crikey, if she doesn't phone for a bit or we don't chat to each other for a bit, she hasn't liked it.
Yeah.
She hasn't liked it. And of course, you sent out that WhatsApp. What did you think? What did you think, Steph?
Who's going to go first?
What did you think?
No need. It was brilliant. It was. I absolutely loved it. And my mum could hear me howling from the other room with laughter at certain points. So it was properly great. So should we deep dive into those designs and understand a little bit more about what we actually saw on the show? Yeah. So, of course, in the latest episode, we were in Swansea following the journey of best friends Claire and Joe, as they let one of the design team loose on Claire's very beige living room. Beige. There was a lot of beige, wasn't there? And we also saw mother and daughter team Lisa and Kirsty, and their job was to update Lisa's tired and shabby chic bedroom, and that got a wonderful and very glamorous makeover, so didn't it, in the show? Yeah. So where should we start? Should we start with Claire and Joe? What did you think of Claire and Joe?
As much as the decorating, it's the relationships between the people on the show.
Yeah.
And it was lovely. And their friendships are genuine, genuine friendships.
Yeah.
And also, I suppose the trepidation or the kind of the real worry is that they're going to upset each other and they're going to get each other's styles wrong, and they just didn't. So no, I thought that was really, really lovely.
And I just think it's really nice to have your best friend along as well. So clearly Claire does a lot of entertaining. You know, she likes the odd cocktail. Yes. She likes to watch the rugby. She likes to have her friends around. So I thought, what better way than to kind of invite a friend over? So it was really lovely to kind of see those two kind of scheming together on what Lisa and Kirsty were going to get.
This is the first one we've watched, isn't it? Is this the first one we watched?
The first one that we saw. It's a little sneak preview of, and it made us fall in love, didn't it, with the show?
It did.
For sure. So and the design brief from Claire was very much, it's today, it's all about beige. And I have to say, she wasn't wrong, was she? She had beige walls. Oh, she had a beige leather sofa. She had some beige kind of whitewashed flooring.
Yes.
I think she had tried, bless her, with some wallpaper on the wall. But even to her admission, it wasn't quite working out.
Yeah, it got stuck in beige.
Yep. It needed to go, didn't it? It needed to go. So I definitely was in need of a bit of love and attention, that room. So her design brief was all around making it brighter, making it much more about entertaining, a place that friends and family can visit, making it cocktail-licious. I knew you were going to say that. We did obviously pay attention to all of the important bits of that brief. So,
I love LLB. The name, LLB. I love the name, Forever Peacocky.
That was his design manifesto. Yeah, what did you think of Forever Peacocky?
I thought the inspiration, the floating palace of Udaipur, was it was very, very nice. And so I immediately Googled that to see what it looked like. And yes,
me too.
It was lovely. I thought it was very ambitious. I was thinking, is this going to be too much in this space? How is he going to put all of that vibrant colour and all of that stuff in the space and not overwhelm it?
Yeah.
And that was the really, I think that's the genius of the man, actually, is that he can do all of this and he can interpret something incredible.
Yeah.
It's maximalism. I mean, he's a self-confessed maximalist. He likes to put lots of stuff in, but it just doesn't overwhelm the space. And it seemed to capture that sense. And The floating chair.
Oh my God, the floating chair. I love that. I know.
I want one of those.
I mean, if I did it, it would totally fall off. So I definitely need a Tibby in my life in order to get that floating chair. But how amazing was that?
It was.
When he said, and as part of his design manifesto, floating palace of Udaipur, I thought, oh my God, it's gonna be a theme room. It's gonna be like a theme. Changing rooms of the 90s is coming back. But I think you're right. That's where a proper genius designer comes into their own, is they have a piece of inspiration that is, probably feels a bit left field in comparison to what you've got in the design, but it's taking the inspiration and then kind of putting his stamp on it.
Yeah.
That's really amazing, rather than kind of taking it really literally. So I was thinking,
and also making a room, I thought was interesting. You expect a room to have a sort of sofa and it's everything's it's really conventional, because we all do the conventional thing, don't we?
Yeah.
We have TV, we have sofas, we have chairs, and he put a hanging chair in there, and he actually made that space come alive for its exact purpose for her. I thought that was lovely, and I thought this might be what changing room does, is it helps us reconnect with our homes on a personal level. Let's do decorating for ourselves.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, just and this for was, us and how we want to
totally
use the space.
It was totally her, wasn't it? It was totally her. Like, we're not making homes to be boxes that we sell on. That was totally Claire, and I just loved that for her. And her reaction was just amazing.
And also when it sort of revealed that it was going to be pink and she didn't like pink, but oh my goodness.
That moment of tension, that changing rooms tension has reappeared at that moment. You're like, oh my God, he's going to choose pink. He's going to choose pink.
I did think the hanging chair was going to be the teapot moment of the series, but luckily
not.
Got a lot of people on that chair.
They did. Testament to Tibby and the work of a professional. Sure.
Tibby did look a little worried at one point, but he got it. He nailed it.
He did.
He always does.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the techniques and some of the colours that were used, obviously, because that, definitely gave such a dramatic backdrop to the rest of that scheme. Yeah. So talk us through some of those colours that you saw. What did you think?
There's a beautiful teals. There's a teal panelled wall and a pink panelled wall. And it was the panels, those concentric the beautiful blocks, those concentric colours that all came in, that gave the room some dynamism.
Yeah.
It gave it, but without overwhelming the space. And he'd used harmonious colours on each of those walls. And it also, what was really interesting, it quirked the space. So it kind of like made the space look less like a box and more like a kind of journey as you walked into the room, and it drew your eyes to different parts of the room. And I thought that was absolutely beautiful.
Mm.
I mean, the original room was a mishmash of styles, wasn't it? And even though this was an extraordinary feast for the eyes and the senses, it all seemed to work in a much better way.
It really did. Yeah. And I really liked the way that, obviously, he called the design manifesto Forever Peacocky. Mm-hmm. So you're, of course, expecting that to be a massive, lovely blues and greens. But what I really liked is he didn't just go for that on all of the walls. You know, there was this jolt of this kind of, I was about to say softer pink, but it wasn't softer pink at all, was it? It was quite in your face.
Yeah, it was.
Flamingo flock
pink
that was actually kind of quite a statement. But, it's as you walked into the room, that was almost behind you. So you got this like influx into your eyes of this beautiful kind of peacocky palette. And then you looked behind you and you started to get, more.
I know.
Bird influences with the flamingo kind of pink on the back wall. And it just gave it a different dynamic. I think it would have been a different room completely if it was just surrounded in those teal colours, because it just would have been, it just wouldn't have had the personality, I don't think. Yeah. It needed those corals and those jolts of red and orange and pink in order to kind of really, give that teal a bit of
I love the names. I think Lawrence chose the colours according to their names as well as the colour themselves.
Yes.
So on the teal panelled wall, it got Maldive Dream, Turquoise Jewel, and Emerald Glade, and those colours just work beautifully. And on the pink wall, you've got Flamingo Flock, of course, Coral Flare, and Berry Whip, and those colours just work beautifully together.
Really, really beautiful,
Steph, we need to talk about Lisa and Kirsty's bedroom. We need
Chante Swansea. Yes.
It was. That was a real, a bit of French country, a bit of shabby chic, a bit of rustic farmhouse. And all looking a little tired when we saw that. I mean, it was nice and neat and tidy, but it was just tired. It was sort of stuck in I think often people with decorating get stuck in simple colours because they work.
Yeah.
And they don't challenge you. So you just go, it's all right, it's nice, we'll just refresh it, it's nice. And you never get out of that. And this is what what they needed was a real kind of like,
And I just thought as well,
bit of Russell and Jordan.
That's all we all need, a bit of Russell and Jordan in our lives, I think, for that reason. But I think when you, particularly on a kind of bedroom, so obviously Claire, we were doing a living room, so that's a space where there's quite a lot of vibrancy and obviously she likes entertaining. If it's a bedroom, you think, oh, you know, I need something that's calm, a place to retreat to. So quite often people will just go for quite muted pastel-y shades, and she had that kind of green floral wallpaper as a bit of a feature wall behind her bed. And I guess on paper you think, yeah, that's going to do the job of being a retreat, but actually you don't always have to go down that route, do you? You can go for something rich and like voluptuous, and it can still give you that feeling of a retreat.
Las Vegas showgirl retreat, like a dressing room. That was just fantastic.
So the design manifesto was, of course, Shantae Swansea. Yes. So what did you think of the design manifesto, the influences?
I thought it was lovely. I love the whole kind of like drag kind of influences. I just loved it. I love the drag names of everybody, especially Steph's, Kiki La Femme.
Yes.
That was the best one ever. Yeah, I love that. I think... Again, you talked about a bedroom being a retreat. Why isn't it just a fantasy? Why isn't it somewhere where you come in and you feel completely uplifted and you can become whatever you like?
It's like a special... Yeah, why not make it special? Don't make it restful all the time. You know, have it as somewhere that you can have a bit of a... I was going to say have a bit of a guilty pleasure about, but maybe that's going down a different track than what I meant. You know?
Don't make guilty pleasure. We've got to talk about the garage door effect, the dado. Because I saw that dado going on the wall. I thought, that looks all right. And then somebody mentioned it looked like a garage door.
Yeah, and then you can't unsee that then, can you?
You can't unsee it. Once you've seen it, you go, yeah, it did work. It was also sort of kebab shop frontage.
Oh, that did get a mention. And I did feel sorry for him at that point. But do you know what? You're right. I couldn't unsee it after someone said it. But I thought that was a really great way of adding a bit of texture to quite a plain wall otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, I've never thought of that before.
And those textured panels, those sort of undulating panels, they cost so much money.
They do.
To do it with a bit of moulding. Just such a brilliant idea.
I thought that was a great idea.
I wish you hadn't mentioned the kebab shop thing.
No, that was a bit of a shame. But I didn't think it really looked like it was a very glamorous kebab shop.
It was.
I've never seen a kebab shop like that, if that's the case.
And I thought Tibby pulled it out of the bag, getting those wardrobes to fit either side. It was just incredible because that must have been horrible. Every show, you see that poor man's face. But he does manage to pull it off. It's absolutely brilliant.
I did love that. What I also loved, which we can't obviously not discuss, was the colour choices.
Oh.
So a lot of the colours in this particular room, as we said, you'd kind of think if you wanted a retreat bedroom, you know, if that was somewhere that, you know, Lisa wanted to go to feel special and... You know, it would be really easy to fall into that trap of going for something kind of, you know, quite wishy-washy. But I love the fact that the boys actually went for some of the colours that were a bit more statement in our heritage range. So we had DH Oxford Blue, which is just the most beautiful navy, as the sort of main colour on the walls and kebab shop wall. We shouldn't refer to it as that, should we? It's very rude. But I did absolutely love that. And I just thought the finish of that in that space, particularly in a bedroom, was just really beautiful. And then you had the back of the wall of the bedhead that was all in the potter's pink, and the ceiling.
Oh, the ceiling, that lovely horseshoe effect over the ceiling,
and the
canopy.
Horseshoe.
That was lovely. That's one of the most, we've seen that happening a lot, haven't we, in decorating, people using the ceiling as that kind of that fifth wall and doing something exciting on the ceiling. And that would have really cocooned that bed. That would have been something really lovely to look up and to see when you're lying in bed and you see this beautiful shape. Yeah, that was really clever. And we've got a how-to on that, haven't we, Steph?
We do. We do have a how-to on that kind of coming up later. Yeah. So we will talk more about that horseshoe canopy very shortly. But I really did love the fact that it's really tempting, isn't it, with a ceiling to just kind of go with white or go with something really, really light. But actually the boys went for Potter's Pink on that ceiling. And of course with the DH Blossom being the horseshoe canopy itself. So just a really lovely combination of blues and pinks. And of course we all know how we feel about pink. We are fans of pink Let's Colour podcast. So I just thought it was just a really sumptuous palette, not too girly, but not masculine either, but just a really lovely mix of colours, which is just a beautiful backdrop for that very Vegas bedroom.
Can we talk about the hair?
Oh, yeah, the hair. The wall of hair? Not a fan?
No. I wasn't sure about the wall of hair.
It's definitely unique, isn't it?
I do love something really different. I do. I mean, my house is full of just silly things, but I asked myself as I was lying in bed watching this, could I do a wall of hair?
Could we do a wall of hair?
Possibly not.
Possibly not.
It could be one of those wonderful things when you kind of got a bit stressed, you could do lots of different...
Like a therapy wall. Yeah, you could stroke it occasionally.
Did you used to have one of those dolls that had hair that grew longer when you were little? You used to brush it?
Oh, no. I missed out.
Oh, it was a fabulous hairdressing doll.
Anyway, does it remind you of one of those?
It did, but on a massive scale, when you'd probably drunk too much and were feeling a bit ill, that's how it made me feel.
Yes, well, let's talk about the reveals, though, of course, because it's not all about the things that perhaps we weren't so keen on. But the homeowners themselves. So Claire and Joe, the reveal moment where they walked in and Anna did her 3-2-1 look, and it was just such a lovely moment. I think she was genuinely shocked actually at her room, and particularly for the fact that one of her colours not to use was pink, and of course there was a lot of pink there.
She loved it.
And she got her fireplace, of course, as well, which she was really happy about. So wasn't that lovely?
And I think that's a testament to designers. What designers do is they help you, they hold you by the hand, and they take you out of your comfort zone, but they know that it's going to look beautiful together. So although she didn't like pink, it was just beautiful. And the only negative, I suppose, was the wall of hair, I think.
The wall of hair, I think, was something that the homeowner, Lisa, wasn't particularly sold on. I think we're all thinking that, aren't we, really? We're not keen on the wall of hair. However, it did go very well with the old Chante Swansea design manifesto. I totally see where they were coming from, but perhaps that's one that may be removed in time.
But she loved it, didn't she? She loved it. Yeah, it was lovely. It was really nice. It was a lovely ending. I like people to cry for all the right reasons, don't you?
Yeah. It was just so lovely seeing everyone just be so overwhelmed by the transformation. And as we say, not having these bland boxes that no living in happens. Just really lovely to see them enjoy what a beautiful, beautiful room. So well done, everyone, on such a fantastic first show.
We're all loved up, aren't we, Steph?
We thank goodness, we are all loved up with what we saw. And it's brilliant. We absolutely loved seeing this on air again after all these years. But we'd actually love to know what you think too. So if you are listening in, do pop us a DM on our Facebook or Instagram pages and let us know what you think of the show. And of course, those fabulous designs, because we would really love to know your thoughts. So definitely do get in touch. So let's continue our changing rooms journey with our special guests for today's episode. Today, we're joined by Katie Brosnan, who's an executive producer at Shine TV, who are bringing to life changing rooms for us in this new episode and series, and Mark Salmon, who is the director of entertainment, aka God, at Shine TV. Mark and Katie, welcome to the Let's Colour podcast.
Thank you.
So myself and Katie and Mark have been working together with Marianne, of course, as well, over the past 18 months on Changing Rooms, the show concept, and our involvement as Dulux within it. And I and Marianne were really, really keen for you to come on the show today, because I want our listeners to have the same experience that we've had in talking to you guys around bringing it back, because it's been so exciting to hear how your thought processes have led to the series that we're in the middle or just about to begin watching. So it's really great, the conversations that we've had, and I want everyone to share in that.
It's just been a learning curve for us all, hasn't it? It's been an amazing roller coaster, and during a pandemic as well. I mean, so what better way for you to get to know the show from the people who've made it happen? So without further ado, Katie and Mark, we're going to ask you a load of questions. Are you ready?
We were born ready.
The first is actually all about your job and how you got into it, because we actually think we have the best jobs in the world. But looking at your job titles, I'm kind of, I'm going to rejig my career. So start with you, Mark. How did you get into TV? How did you get into this business?
Oh, it's so sad and pathetic, but I just was that couch potato as a child growing up, lying on the sofa watching telly constantly with my father, who was a builder. telling me that no good would ever come of it and that I should definitely get up and go out and do something. But sadly, I ignored his advice and I continued to lie on that sofa watching TV. And when I left university, I was desperate to get into TV, but no one would have me. I applied to literally every single production company and broadcaster. And in the end, I had to sell airtime for Scottish television. So I found myself trying to slot adverts for McDonald's in around kids' programmes, because that's all McDonald's seemed to want at that time in the 90s. And eventually, someone listened to me and finally relented and gave me an opportunity to start working in telly. So mine was a pretty determined and relentless pursuit of doing something that I was obsessed by and loved as a child. I didn't fall into it and it wasn't an accident.
And how about you, Katie?
Mine is almost the polar opposite. Like Mark, my mother said to me, get a proper job. I had just finished studying law at university and I was starting working in a legal firm and basically thought sort of a life of conveyancing and looking over title deeds is not for me. I want, you know, the bright lights, want something a bit more exciting. And then a sort of happy accident ensued. A friend's sister was working in TV in London and basically said to me that an opportunity to fill in for a runner. So I was a sub runner, like sub, you know, sub entity, that there was a 2-week gap at BBC in Manchester. I'd never even been to the UK at that point. So off I went with my little rucksack on my back to fill in for a runner for 2 weeks at the BBC. And then 6 years later, I was still at the BBC and sort of, you know, moved on from there. I've been all around the block since then, you know, working for broadcasters, working in independent production companies, working for the BBC as well. So, yeah, it's been quite a sort of circuitous route to get to changing rooms. But it is something like genuinely as a kid that, well, actually probably not a kid, I'm older than that, but as a young person, I used to watch it again with my family, with my mum. She was really into interiors. Sort of some of my earliest memories are going to auctions with her. You know, there used to be big house auctions in Dublin and I'd be sitting beside her and she'd be like, shut up or they'll think you're bidding on something. So yeah, my sort of love of interiors was born from there and I never dreamed that I would actually be working on changing rooms. So it literally was, you know, when I got the call from Mark, I couldn't believe it. It was my dream job. And, you know, that's not a word of a lie. It was genuinely my dream job. So, yeah.
So what we'd really like to know is, what are your roles on the show? What does an executive producer do? And of course, a director of entertainment. We obviously want to know what they do. So, Katie, tell us about what it's like being an exec producer on Changing Rooms.
The executive producer role basically involves, in simplest terms, overseeing the production, but that breaks down into a myriad of responsibilities and tasks, and no job is too small. So basically just keeping the show on the road, but also being heavily involved in the editorial direction of the show. So, you know, together with Mark, it involved, you know, deciding on what designers were going to take part, which Mark will talk about in more detail, I'm sure, and reformatting the show. So thinking how we could move it on, you know, be faithful to the heritage, the great heritage that is the Changing Rooms format, which is basically a bit of a national treasure of a TV format, but also just sort of making it, updating it for a contemporary audience and bring it into line with, you know, other shows.
And Mark, how about yourself? What does being a director of entertainment involve? Dying to know.
Katie described herself as the overseer. and I'm the overseer of the overseer. So my job was to hire the brilliant team, starting from the top with Katie, who has just been fantastic. But I suppose the biggest thing that I do, and Katie does a lot of as well, but I certainly find that it takes up a lot of time, is problem solving.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, it's about, you know, finding the right people, making sure that they're brilliant and talented, which they are, and that they can bring the show back and deliver on the vision of you guys, of the Channel 4, and of everyone at Shine who make the show.
Tell us about the casting process, because that must be extraordinary. I mean, was Lawrence an absolute must-have, and how did you kind of work from there? How did you do the casting?
Well, Lawrence always was a must-have for me, and it didn't take much convincing to get Channel 4 on side. I mean, I, like Katie, I could pretend that I was a child watching the original Changing Rooms, but I wasn't. And And so I remember him being integral to the show, and everyone remembers Lawrence, mm-hmm. a huge part of the show. I was a designer on it for a number of series and then went on to host it. So, you know, I realised that people would want to watch him again, would want to see what he's coming back with. Yeah. Is he going to deliver? And he has. So that, you know, that was a no-brainer for us, really, getting Lawrence on board. He didn't immediately say yes. And Lawrence is now he loves the show and he loves the brand. I think he wanted to be convinced that we were going to look after it, which is amazing. You know, he wanted to be sure that if he came back into it, that all of that love and all of that nostalgia and all of the warmth that people feel towards it was going to be respected. And as Katie said earlier, obviously, it's a long time since the last series. So we wanted to bring it back and contemporize it, if that's a word, and bring it bang up to date in terms of how we film, what it looks like, and how we use our cast, our contributors. But we also wanted to respect the brand and the heritage. So Lawrence was, once he realized that that's what we were going to do and how we were going to treat it, he thankfully said yes. And then we had to, the very difficult task, which I handed over to Katie, of finding someone to take on the king of the king of makeover. So Katie had that unenviable challenge of finding someone brilliant to stand up to him, really, to take him on.
So Katie, how did you go about doing that? How did you come across your second designer?
Lawrence is quite a singular talent, really, because he's an amazing presenter. He's just so funny and warm and caustic at the same time. And he's also an expert in his field. So, you know, that sort of volume of talent is quite, you know, could be quite sort of intimidating. Well, is quite intimidating for most people.
We're intimidated by him, aren't we?
Not really. He pretends to be a panto villain and he's a little pussycat. He's actually such a gentleman. He's lovely. And although I shouldn't be saying that, I'm blowing his cover. But
no, but you don't realise you've been insulted by him until he's sometimes left the room.
Oh, he's brilliant. But yeah,
my mother-in-law was like that.
So finding someone to go up against Lawrence, yeah, was sort of no mean feat. And we spoke to loads and loads of talented people. But essentially, I mean, I joked that actually we couldn't find one person to take him on, so we had to find two. But that's firmly tongue-in-cheek, because actually Russell and Jordan are immensely talented. And you know, they're completely different. They're a different flavour to Lawrence, which I think was really important to reflect within the show as well, to have that balance. You know, they describe their style as joyful minimalism, and that sort of, for me, offset Lawrence's sort of fantastical maximalism.
So, Katie, Mark, tell us, why did you decide that now is the right time for Changing Rooms? Why is it that people are craving this kind of TV show right now?
It feels like the right time for Changing Rooms to be back. And I mean, Mark will expand on that, because he literally has been trying to get it commissioned for, I won't say decades, but for quite a long time. But it seems like that, you know, I think after the year that everyone's had, you know, everyone is sort of craving something that's feel good and warm. And, you know, as much as anything, everyone has spent a lot of time staring at their own four walls, you know, whether it's their own homes or in rental accommodation, or, you know, we've just seen far too much of the place we live, really, and we want to make it nice. So in that respect, it's really timely.
Mark, why have you been so passionate about it for decades? Tell us, what is this mission that you're on?
I joined Shine about 3 years ago. Although Shine wasn't the production company that originally made it, they're part of a bigger group called Banerjee that hold the rights to it. And I couldn't quite work out, because one of my jobs when I got there was to sell new ideas and bring new business in. And I couldn't work out why we'd seen lots of other, you know, big brands, big formats return, get reinvented and brought back, and Changing Rooms hadn't. So I was keen to get it. Part of it was a pure business, you know, decision, but a big part of it was that it just struck me, and I love all of those property shows, makeover shows that exist. I'm not quite as skilled and I'm not the expert that Katie is in design, but I love those shows and I watch those shows and they're aspirational, and I might not do it myself, but I want to see the reveals and I want to see the makeover. And they're brilliant and I'm not criticising them, but there are a lot of them. And what they do often is tell you what the trends are and then how you should do it. And sometimes they're linked to selling your home or what to do when you buy a home or what to do when, how to add value. And it struck me that Changing Rooms was never that. It didn't concern itself with the vulgarities of value and how much your property might have gone up by doing it up. And it was really about the people and personalities. I pretty much, you know, took it into Channel 4 and within a couple of hours had a yes from the first person, you know, the first point of call, the commissioner at Channel 4, we really want to do this. And so that was exciting. And it took a little bit of time. We started talking to you guys about coming on as our partner at Dulux and working with us, helping us deliver the show and the series and bring it back. That, of course, took a little bit of time. And then COVID got in the way.
So actually, ruins all of our fun.
COVID. We would have been back much sooner and we'd probably be talking about series two now, but sadly that slowed it down. So it has felt like decades that I've been on it.
I just can't wait for everyone to see what we've all seen so far. It's going to be an absolutely amazing series.
We love the highs and lows, the stories of the high points, particularly, you know, a guilty pleasure is always to hear about the things that go horribly wrong. And Mark, your face, your smiling face, tells us all about the highs of the show being commissioned to start off with. But Katie, I want to ask you about what it was like to film with a huge crew in COVID, during COVID.
It was challenging, but we did it. I can't believe we did it.
We did it.
So I think, you know, first of all, we had to make sure our crew was streamlined because it was all about minimising risks. So we formed a bubble whereby we all had to isolate in a hotel together. We streamlined the production crew and everyone involved, the decorators, made sure that we had no sort of excess in terms of people that we were travelling around with, because we were one of the only, I think we were in fact the only travelling bubble that TV history. So other productions have isolated and formed a bubble. Bake Off have done it and numerous other productions, but they have all spent time in one location. Strictly did it as well. But we were moving around the country, so we were a little travelling bubble. So all of that had to be factored in, how we travelled safely, how we maintained the integrity of the bubble while we travelled around. And we had people joining our bubble, so the homeowners were joining our bubble at every location. So they were simultaneously isolating as well. So it was just a huge undertaking in terms of logistics.
Yeah.
And we were regularly tested, you know, to make sure that, you know, that the bubble, the integrity of the bubble was maintained at all times. So, we really relied on people's goodwill and, you know, sort of team spirit to carry us through. It was challenging, but it was also, we were all sort of in the trenches together at the same time. So, you know, all those experiences sort of galvanised the team as well as challenged them. So, it was ultimately, it was a very interesting and ultimately worthwhile experience, especially when you see the programmes, you think, wow.
Definitely. I really want to know, with this travelling bubble, did you have a big, giant, fancy tour bus? Because I imagine Lawrence in a big, fancy, massive tour bus, and maybe there's the rest of you like in Ubers, like behind or something, because, you know, the budget's run out on Lawrence's tour bus. Was it like that? Because that's how I picture it in my head.
Wow, no. It wasn't like that at all. We looked at that and we looked at a number of ways of getting people around. In the end, it was a number of cars, not very glamorous cars. If you've read Heat magazine recently, you'll see that Lawrence talked about being driven around in a Citroën and staying at a Premier Inn. And I was driving that Citroën. So I became, as Katie alluded to, streamlined production meant that we all took on lots of jobs, you know, big and small. It didn't matter what our titles were. So Katie and I found ourselves sometimes organising food or being Lawrence's driver, as I was for the period of time.
We were going to buy him a little hat, his little chauffeur's hat.
Oh, that's a shame.
A little peaked cap. Could have done that. Yeah.
I'm interested, as Lawrence's driver, do you have any juicy gossip for us? You know, do his feet smell bad?
Did he comment on your driving?
Was he a good passenger? Anything you can tell us?
No, I don't, actually. He's very good company, very entertaining. He's very good at small talk, and he's also very good at being quiet, which is nice. I've known Lawrence for a very long time, and we were very comfortable not talking for part of the journey. So, no, I'm afraid I don't have any juicy gossip. He's a very, very good passenger.
Katie, you got to dish the dirt.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Well, the leather trousers survived. We threatened to cut him out. I mean, in the lead up to the show, when we were discussing wardrobe, I suggested that Lawrence might think of a sort of hot weather plan. And he was absolutely adamant that he had filmed in jungles. Where he hadn't filmed wearing those leather trousers wasn't worth talking about. So the sort of threat of cutting him out of the leather trousers, or at least cutting them off at the knee, was sort of ever present. But he made it through, and the leather trousers, I mean, they should be in a museum or something at this point. They survived the series.
We're coming to the end of our fantastic chat. It's brilliant to listen to you guys talk about how the show's made and behind the scenes and all of the work, the most amazing teamwork that goes into producing something like this. And, you know, we've been with you all the way and we are absolutely thrilled. We can't thank you enough that it's coming back on our screens. But one thing we wanted to ask, and we've been asking everybody we've been talking to on the show, is can you describe the show, what we should expect from that show in three words? So both have three words to describe it.
I would say that the show is bold, ambitious, and joyous. That's how I'd sum it up.
I'd say entertaining, aspirational, and inclusive. We try to include, it just feels like we have a real little gang going. The whole, you know, all the Dulux decorators, you know, Tibby, our carpenter, and the rest of the carpentry team, and all our on-screen talent. It just feels like really warm and inclusive, and obviously our great homeowners as well, who are completely game for a laugh and, you know, took the risk of allowing us back into their homes after a 15-year break.
Honestly, last question from us now, because we do have to let you go. We could talk to you all day. We like to ask all of our guests that we have on the podcast one final question, which is, do you have a favourite colour? And why is this your favourite colour?
My favourite colour is green. I don't think that there is a particular reason. I could say that I have Irish heritage and roots. That might be why, maybe. But yeah, green, I think, would be my... It's calming. It's soothing green.
I think mine is a toss-up, probably between green as well, for the obvious reasons. And it is very soothing. And I think now the series has actually made me look at pink in new light, because Russell and Jordan sort of use pink as a neutral. So in terms of sort of broadening, you know, what I consider to be a neutral, yeah, I'm definitely coming around to sort of put a bit of pink everywhere, because it's so warm and lovely and, again, soothing.
Wonderful. Oh, Mark and Katie, you have been the most amazing guests. Thank you for being so generous with your time and giving us all the information of behind the scenes. So thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Lovely to see you.
It's been amazing. Amazing. Thanks, guys. Yes, that was so fantastic. Thank you so much, guys. We should move on. We should move on and talk about how you at home can recreate some of those fabulous looks for yourselves using the tips and tricks from our very own Dr. Julux. In a change to the usual structure of this section, we'll be, or very specifically, I will be probing Dr. Julux to guide you through some of the questions and queries that you might have on what you've seen in the latest episode. You might be thinking, how have they combined those colours with such ease? Or, I wonder if I should paint my ceiling. Or crucially, I wonder whether I should invest in a pair of leather trousers like Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen. Is that what you're thinking?
Oh, I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, wonder no more, because Dr. Julux is here to help. Hello, Dr. Julux, how are you?
Why, hello, Steph.
Hello. Are you ready for our very first, I've called it decorating directive.
Ooh.
Do you see what I've done there? Not dilemma, because we're not in a dilemma, but we're being directive.
Okay.
Directive. Do you like it?
Yep, nice work. Yep, absolutely. Fire away, Steph.
Excellent. So my first question to you, Dr. Julux, is around creating that striking concentric coloured panelling as we saw in Claire's living room makeover. Can you talk us through the very best way that you can recreate this look and what tools that our listeners might need for that job?
Okay, first thing you need is a tape measure and some chalk, because this job is ever so easy to paint, but it's the difficulty is in measuring it out, marking each of those panels.
Yeah.
So chalk, tape measure, and get measuring out. I would actually create some templates of each of those with some lining paper.
Good idea.
So you can hang them up and stick them, and then you can chalk around them if you like. And it would also have a fantastic spirit level. Quite a long one.
Yeah.
You can use that like a ruler. And then once you've got the outside oblong box, you can take that up, paint on the inside of it, let that dry, and then do the other one. You can actually do it in two stages. It's really, really quick. So you paint the whole room one colour.
Yeah.
Mask up the box, paint that an internal colour.
So you would do the outside box first. Is that the official Dr. Julux advice? If you were doing a concentric rectangular layered panel of, say, three colours, would you do the outside box first?
I would. Yes, I would. Yes, I would, because it makes it easier. So the main thing to do is to paint the walls first, and then you do the outside colour, the outside box, and then do the concentric circles as they're moving inwards. It is easy. It's probably harder for me to explain it to you, but we've got a video, a how-to video.
We do indeed.
So
we have
we'll link you to that at the end of the show notes.
Wonderful YouTube video that very much explains that. But before we move on from that, I know...
Hold on. I've got to go back. Did I mention masking tape?
I was just about to say, it wouldn't be a podcast episode without us talking to people about
masking tape.
So we need to use the proper masking tape for the job. Give us your top masking tape tips, please.
Okay, so you need masking tape for delicate surfaces, or masking tape that doesn't sort of frog tape, basically.
Yeah,
get
the yellow one.
Frog tape.
The yellow one is
brilliant.
Where it's at.
So don't have cheap masking tape. Use really good masking tape for the job.
And I know that you have a particularly fantastic trick about stopping the paint that you're painting over your masking tape bleeding through to the other side.
Absolutely.
Give us your tip.
Absolutely. So when you're putting masking tape onto something, then on the edge that you're going to paint over, seal that edge with the wall colour that the masking tape sits on. So basically the background colour. So it's a weird thing. You look at it, you think, why am I doing that? And actually what you're doing is you're sealing the edge of the masking tape and stopping that next colour from bleeding under the tape and giving you a wiggly wobbly line. And they let that dry, put the colour on top of it. When you take it off, it is literally like an alien has come in and done it for you, or a robot, not a human being. Human beings are flawed.
Yeah.
And robots aren't.
And I love wiggly woggly line. That's my favourite line in this episode, I think, so far.
You never have that if you do that top tip.
It is a top tip. It is a top tip. And it seems like at the time, why am I doing this extra job? But it's even more frustrating if you take the tape off and you've got the wiggly woggly line, isn't it? So definitely do that, listeners, and let us know how you get on with those masking tape tips. Can I talk to you about colour as well?
Can
I talk to you about the colour of these concentric rectangles? Because obviously in the show that we had a lot of teal kind of concentrics, we had a lot of flamingo pinks and salsa and coral, and those are all quite vibrant colours, aren't they? So do you have any tips for us about how we can choose the background and all of the other colours that go in the panelling?
Yeah, you can choose, you can do this effect with any colour at all. So if you're a bit scared of those really, really bold colours, what I would suggest is you choose your wall colour first. And then I would hit the Dulux website. I would choose that wall colour on the website. And yeah. what the website will show you is that it will show you tonal colours that will work with it beautifully. Yeah. And you can choose any two or any three of those colours and they will all work together perfectly. They will look amazing in panelling. So choose your background colour, hit the Dulux website or even the Visualizer app. And once you've picked that colour, it will give you a selection of tonal colours. And
love
I would work with that palette and it will always look gorgeous.
We've done the hard work for you.
Absolutely.
I love that. And I love that you've shouted that out. You can have a job. That is excellent work. Well, thank you so much for that, Doctor. That was brilliant. If you at home would like to give that a go, I would prescribe a dose of our excellent how-to video that Marianne mentioned mm-hmm. earlier on recreating this effect, which you can find on the website or on the Dulux YouTube channel. So do definitely go and check that out for more information. So I have got another one for you. Are you ready?
How far away?
I really loved using the ceiling as that additional wall. So we talked about this, didn't we? Using that additional wall to add a feature to, especially in a bedroom, as per Lisa's bedroom on the show, of course. So what is the best way to do this? What are your top tips for painting on a ceiling, please?
Well, top tip, the most important thing is that you stay safe.
Absolutely.
So it's yeah. it's if you've got a really, you know, wobbly stepladder, don't use a stepladder that's a bit wobbly. Try to have a stepladder whether you've always got one hand on the stepladder, especially to do that arc bit. Now, we've yeah. got a video to show you how to do those curved edges. You use basically a piece of string and chalk to create the curve and then a lovely brush to brush it in. But always stay safe. So I would, if you've got a friend who's got a ladder with a handle on it, use one of those.
Yeah.
And when you're painting the background colour of the ceiling on, you don't really need a ladder. You can use a roller pole, an
yes.
extension roller pole.
Yeah.
So you might need a ladder just to cut in around the edges, but then use a roller pole which will extend that pole up to the ceiling and it makes it so easy to do. So really my top tip about painting any ceiling is stay safe.
Absolutely. Very, very worthy advice there. And of course, more masking tape is required. So all of those tips you can use again
Absolutely.
On this particular
Yeah, you only need one roll for all of those techniques, don't you?
There you are, exactly. Yeah, you could do these effects everywhere and have masking tape left over. The other thing that I did like about that effect was when Mike, one of our select decorators, was very precisely cutting in around that curve shape. Is there any kind of special brush we might need
for
that?
Really good synthetic brush, and you
yes.
can use, well, I would use a cutting in brush, which is one of those lovely little angled brushes.
Yes.
So an angle brush will give you a really good, really, really neat line. And I would also, when you're doing that kind of effect, don't panic, because you're going to get it wrong.
Yes.
Everybody, I bet Mike got it wrong.
Yeah,
and he would
maybe.
Have to just, and so if you get a little bit of a wiggle on it, you can
That's
just
fine.
Let it dry, come back, and then touch it up with the background colour. So basically, don't panic. Use a really good synthetic brush, quality synthetic brush, and a little angled brush, cutting in brush will make that easy.
Yeah, completely. And I always think whenever you're doing any cutting in like that, you always think, oh, I have to go really, really slowly. But you have to kind of do it in one nice smooth stroke, don't you, in order to get that line.
If you thin the paint down as well, so if you're doing really, really fine lines, you know, freehand lines, thin the paint down a little bit, because if the paint's really thick, because Dulux paint is very thick and it's beautifully, you know, it's designed to cover in one, thin it down a little bit and the paint will run much smoother, and then you probably need a couple of coats, but it will make light work of it. Yeah.
And of course, as we mentioned before, don't be scared of using a colour on that ceiling,
of course,
not only for the feature itself, but
Absolutely.
You know, on the ceiling itself.
Don't neglect your ceiling.
It is a very important surface, particularly in a bedroom where that is exactly what you're
staring
at. Yes. Not your partner. No. Forget that. It's all about the ceiling.
Well, that almost brings us to the end of this week's episode, but don't worry, we'll be back at the same time next week for another juicy episode packed full of the gossip from the latest instalment of Changing Rooms. What else have we got coming up next week, Steph?
Well, are you ready, listeners? You better strap yourselves in for next week's instalment, as it is going to be epic. I think that's the only word to use. The one and only Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen will be joining us, hopefully in the trousers, maybe?
I hope so.
That would be special, wouldn't it? Yeah. We'll be chatting to him about all things changing rooms and getting the inside track on what it's been like being part of the show once again.
He's so much fun and we're really looking forward to that. We'll also be doing a deep dive into the latest episode, giving you our opinions on the designs and walking you through how to create elements of those designs for yourselves. I'll slip my white coat on for that, of course.
Cannot wait. Of course, I cannot wait for everyone to hear that. If you have enjoyed listening to today's episode, then please, please, please head on over to your preferred podcast platform, that's a mouthful, and hit that subscribe button so you can be kept up to date with further fantastic content from us across the show, or do leave us a short review to tell us about what you enjoyed. We really genuinely love hearing your feedback, so do take a moment on that if you can.
Yes, thank you so much for your support. And that's it from us here at Dulux HQ. Yeah. So bye-bye for now. And please do come back for another episode of
Let's Colour!